Pope Francis gave his first annual address to the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See on Monday. During his speech, he remarked on the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the First World War. He quoted his predecessor of the era, Pope Benedict XV, who told European leaders to make the moral force of law prevail over the material force of arms in order to end the needless carnage. The Balkan region was the center of the beginning of the First World War and has suffered many conflicts since. One of the ambassadors present at the Pope's speech was the Serbian ambassador to the Holy See, Mirko Jelic. He spoke to Charles Collins about the speech and also about the newfound peace in southeastern Europe.
Yes, it was His Holiness' first audience for the diplomatic corps, and I have to admit that the speech that he delivered was something a bit more of the status of events, if you like, and he had mentioned almost all of the major issues that on the global level the world is facing today. At the same time, he didn't omit to mention all those things linked to the pastoral teachings or questions that every person, every individual is facing as a challenge of this modern world today.
What are the aspects of the speeches that you thought were most prominent?
I would say that for me as a diplomat, of course, the most prominent was the fact that Pope Francis had mentioned all the major issues that on the global level the world is facing today. Still, although those issues, those problems, those tragedies in some cases are evident and everybody's aware of them, when he talks about them, and with the way he talks about them, and his personality, and his moral strength, and the fact that he's been mentioning all those things from the very beginning of his papacy, gives, I would say, a special emphasis, and they are something which then whole world rethinks about. I can't say it takes more seriously because the issues are so serious that one, whether you like it or not, facing them is already a serious matter. But then rethink about them, and I hope, starts thinking about how to make them less big, all those problems. Like, for instance, of course, first and foremost, the question of peace, preservation of peace, not by the balance of fear or balance of, armaments that one will pile up, but with the rule of law and with a sincere and true approach of resolving the still existing crisis, some of them going on for 50 or more years, and the others being popping up here and there, off and on, unfortunately, having the world to face all these warlike situations on a daily basis. The second one is, of course, the poverty issue, the issue of, it would be very simplified to say rich and poor, but the fact is, you see, that the poverty today is maybe even more so visible because of the huge differences that appear to exist between the different layers of societies in more or less all of the countries in the world today. The other one, and linked to this, of course, is the issue of hunger. Hunger as something that exists still today in the 21st century is horrifying by itself. And yet, when you hear Pope Francis mentioning the quantities of food that are thrown away on a daily basis, and at the same time, the number of people who are still hungry or not properly fed, especially the children, the weak ones, those that are most in need of, let's say, help or assistance, then it's really then really one grasps the how big the problem is, and at the same time that with little steps, no matter how big that problem might be, if not resolved immediately, then begin to be resolved. Holy Father had also mentioned the issue, of course, of migration. One question that we have seen in recent years have resulted in many individual and unfortunately not an individual, but also in larger scale numbers, tragedies. And the world has been watching that going on for quite a while and not reacting properly on that tragedy. And only when Pope Francis had voiced out and went himself to Lampedusa to show with his own example what a misery these people have to go through in search for better life, and yet only to encounter another tragedy, sometimes even to pay that with their own lives and lives of their loved ones. Also, human trafficking is something which exists even in the part of the world that I'm coming from, and as a problem, recognized one, but still it exists. And in the end, Pope has shown also his concern about the environmental issues, but again, linked in a that should be in harmony with human beings on Earth.
The Holy Father, you mentioned talking about the rule of law. When he brought up the rule of law, he was also speaking about the fact that it's the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the First World War, which of course strikes home very much to the people of Serbia and the Balkans region. And it's been a long 100 years also for Serbia and the Balkans. It's been, though, last few years has been a bright spot. Things have been improving between the relations amongst the Balkan countries. Can you give us more about that?
Yes, of course. Balkans is the part of Europe which, like Sir Winston Churchill once said, had created more history than it can digest. Nicely put, but on the ground, it was war after war, tragedy after tragedy. My grandmother's stories were about the wars and who in the family was killed. My father's stories were about some other wars. Unfortunately, for these last 100 years, Balkans have seen too many wars and too many victims. Fortunately, after the tragedies in the 90s of the last century and the breakup of Yugoslavia and the civil war that followed, fortunately, for the last 10, 15 years, I may say that the things are improving in that part of Europe as well, and that we are now witnessing more and more cooperation among the countries of the Southeast Europe, or the Balkan countries, if you prefer so. Not only in the economic field, which was obviously one of the fields where it was a bit easier to start with the cooperation, but also in the fields of culture. There were many things that link us. There are many common things, whether one likes to admit or not, and there is a lot of things which makes easier one to understand another, even if sometimes that another doesn't want to admit that. Basically, what is really important is, A, there is no war and there are no conflicts anymore, and B, I'm venturing to suggest that we have finally learned that we can solve whatever problems we have among ourselves by a dialogue, by talking one to another, by trying to make this one step forward rather than one backward yet again. So I believe that this part of the world, this part of Europe, especially thanks to our wish and ambition to join the big family, European family, European Union, the rest of us that are not yet members, because mind you, if I may remind you, the Slovenia and Croatia are already EU members, and the others are really looking forward, not just looking forward and working hard as we can to qualify for the membership in the European Union.
Well, the accession talks are about to begin. What are the hopes? You mentioned some of the healing that's happened since the 90s, since those wars. Aside from, you mentioned economics and also just the European integration, what do you think the accession process means for the people in Serbia and also in other Balkan countries?
For people in Serbia, it's, I would say, something normal to be a member of the larger European family. At the same time, we understand that by joining by beginning negotiations to join European Union, there are many criteria that we have to meet. And by doing so, by preparing ourselves for that, there's a lot of work that have to be done, and we as people will learn a lot through that preparation for the accession and the change where and when necessary. At the same time, the idea of becoming a member of European Union is seen not simply as a way of better living, progress and well-being of the nation, of the country, of the people, which of course is the case. We do believe that we're going to be able to live a better life. But also at the same time that we will be able, by joining EU, to live a life which will be regulated by the rule of law in a modern way that Europe knows for the last 50, 60 years. And at the same time that will bring finally a lasting peace to that corner of Europe which didn't enjoy it in a proper way for quite too many years.